92.3 Free FM. WFNY FM. New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting
the new 92.3 Free FM. WFNY FM. New York. And streaming at 92.3freefm.com.
I get up.
Little, how about Tony Soprano
Nothing
Monday?
Gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around. And I know, oh baby, just how you feel. You gotta roll with the punches to get to what's real. Oh, can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. I'm the worst that you've seen. Oh, can't you see what I mean? Might as well jump. Might as well jump.
Du hører på David Lee Roth. Roth Radio på begynnelsen av morgenen. Sjokkerende stødig. You are listening to David Lee Roth. Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Shockingly consistent.
Roth Radio, DLR, T-Row, Tony Soprano Monday. I'm having a Sopranos Monday, babe. Oh, that Monday. I want to do the news like Tony Soprano, man. Yeah. I see him. DNA links the bouncer who got that chick. He got what was coming to him. Yeah, that's... You know, these guys, they get what's coming to them unless he steps out of that station house, in which case it's death by parked car. WTC Memorial Construction begins today. You know, a lot of good people, they passed away that day. It's good they used the right cement for this.
Yeah, that's right.
Next item, some people opposed to the memorial. We should talk to them. I don't know who they are. Maybe they're American Indians or something. FBI, no credible threat for college tournament. Hey, we talked to somebody. Somebody talks to somebody. To the guy who works behind the guy behind the guy. There's no more credible threat. Bada bing, bada boom, all done. Right. Prosecutor, text message girl was not abducted. Hey, who knew what was on her mind? It was late. There was alcohol. It was after midnight. Everybody's guilty. Tom Cruise, less desirable than Saddam Hussein. Hey, so what's new? Not exactly headlines, bada bing, bada boom. Teacher, disciplined over Bush comments, wishes he'd picked a different dictator. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Come on. Scott Weiland says Axl Rose is a fat, Botoxed waist. It's a tongue twister this early. Scott Weiland says Axl Rose is a fat, Botoxed-faced, wig-wearing freak. I had to change the last word here. Hey, he's better do the right thing. This Axl whatever. He's got two in the head. I got a trouble with an advertising thing here. I got to talk to this kid. Make this right. Axl, get your arms around this. Johnny Rotten to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Kiss this, yo. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, Tony Soprano style. You'll never guess. I don't even have to make the voice. Leonard Skinner. Sex Pistols, Miles Davis, Mr. Birdland, Mr. Black Sabbath, and you're not going to be listening to Blondie down there. Michael Jackson picks out his egg donor, and it better be the right egg. Smokey Lohan drives mom to tears. Lindsay Lohan's mother fears her teen queen daughter may die if she continues smoking. Hey, she's a kid. She doesn't know any better. The tabloids are bored with Paris. Not exactly headlines, huh? You guys actually watch the Tony Soprano show? Listen, there's a Freudian slip right there. You're Italian, Sash, right?
Yes, I am.
And do you relate to Tony, or who do you relate to in the show?
I relate to Meadow.
You like Meadow the best?
Yeah.
Did I see Meadow doing a strip tease?
Did a little dance, yeah.
Oof, I like the way you rephrased that. Like in an arraignment. You're going to be good. Meadow, everybody's grown up now. They're very familiar characters, right? You know, they present each one, and I see that a couple have gotten married. There's now a child, and Uncle Junior has gone the way of whatever. Who would have ever thought that the ending would be this way? I'm not going to give away the ending of the first episode, because if you're like me, you'll usually wait until happy hour on Wednesday to tune in, right? Everybody jumps ahead for Sunday night, but Sunday night doesn't exist for me. Sunday night starts at about 3 in the afternoon. Did you see The Sopranos? Animal, did you catch that? Do you have that set up in your TV yet?
No, I didn't check it out last night, but I did check out Flavor Flav last show last night. It was
Oh, wait a minute. This is of equal importance here. What happened on Flav?
He didn't choose New Yorker. He chose the other girl, man.
Who?
Oh, what? So was there a lot of tears? Were there a lot of recriminations?
And well, when she walked off the set, she wasn't crying. But then when she got in the limo, she just broke down, man, and started crying. I'm glad he didn't choose her, man. She was like an undercover hood rat to me, man.
Because everybody was, seems like everybody was undercover and going behind the back and had secondary agendas in The Sopranos. I want to talk about Flav in a second here.
Okay.
Did you see it? You don't ever see that. Sunday night doesn't exist for you, does it?
Sunday night doesn't not exist for me. No, I'm up at 2:45. I was in bed by 7:30.
Okay, well, not after. Stop trying to explain what happened to you on Friday night. What happened to your mortgage on Friday night? What happened to your metabolism on Friday night? Just keep wake up on in Monday morning, feeling like Tony Soprano. Man. Let's go. What do you think the attraction is for The Sopranos? I think that I know, okay? And I can always, you know, simplify, generalize. First, I want to go on record that I think it's a spectacular show. Always did. Loved it. From the very first day all the way up to this very minute. And by no means do I make fun of it. I'm going to have fun with it. 866-313-3733. What do you think is the attraction for the women, Sash? What do you think is going there for you? You think they're watching the guys, or are they watching the gals as heroes?
I mean, for me and my family, we're watching the guys, really. We're not really watching the women. I mean, I guess, like, a lot of women could relate to Carmella being a lot of Jersey women, anyway.
Is Carmella a power issue, or is she struggling to obtain her
now
power?
Now she is. Now, I mean, I loved Carmella last season. She was real powerful. I loved her.
Okay. But you're saying that you watch it for the guys, right?
I do. I watch it for Tony and Chris.
Well, it's a power issue, isn't it, right? I think what we watch for, and here's what everybody stops at. Everybody starts with, well, we like the family. It shows both sides of contrast, living in our world today. And even though Tony has a dark side, don't we all? And, you know, he's basically a family man who has to do what he has to do. I'm all with it, all down for that. And here's the break point. But when Tony has a problem, all you do is shoot it. Well, I have maintained all the way along steadfastly that there isn't much in life that can't be solved by proper and frequent applications of high explosive. I would have to agree with Tony Soprano that the 45 caliber 1911 semi-automatic is probably the original point-and-click interface. Plus, you know, it's a... It's a society that's based super on loyalty. I don't know that everybody's loyal to each other. Isn't that the first episode?
Yeah.
Coming there, is that real life? Tony says your friends are always going to turn on you.
And it's family.
And your family that sticks with you. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, it's my Italian family. That's always how it is.
No, my family's the first one to turn on me. You met my sister. Actually, Lisa Roth doesn't ever turn on me. She whirls viciously on her assailant. That's a better way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a lot of frustration going on today, right? You heard me blast through the news. The news is all angry. Everybody's fighting with each other. Johnny Rotten's not going to the Olympics. And, you know, you got the people. I screwed that up intentionally. I was gonna mix it with another joke, but I have to finish the Red Bull first. I wonder how many people actually tune in to The Sopranos on a Sunday night compared to, say, American Idol. You think it's about the same? More people probably tune in than for the Olympics. I got to imagine more people tune in for The Sopranos than the finals for American Idol, do you think? How about the Grammys? You think more people watch it than the Grammys?
No, I don't think nobody watched the Grammys too much this year. But, you know, American Idol, since all of the train wrecks is over, I think their ratings dropped a little bit because that's what everybody watches for, the train wreck. Because now they like the finals 6 or 7 or something like that now, I think.
Yeah, but isn't that why you watch The Sopranos, too, for the train wreck?
Yes, sir.
You're sitting and you're waiting. You're waiting for the violence. Isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I wait for. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I think they're going to show it again tonight, ain't they?
Oh, they show it at least 4 or 5 times throughout
the... Yeah, I'll catch it tonight, but I had to watch Flavor Man.
Okay, well, that's a racial thing. Did you see it? I'm sorry? Okay. Is our microphone screwed up? No, wait. I got to make sure. Turn the music off. Turn the music off. Just go ahead.
Check 1, 2.
It's screwed up. That's good luck now. It's like saying break a leg. It's not a real show until the mic done go. Go ahead. Put the track back on. Go ahead. Oh, that's it? Got that right. 866-313-3733. You think that The Sopranos depict Italian New Jersey lifestyle, attitude, and everything very correctly? Isn't that your life? That's where you're from,
Sasha.
That's
my dad, yeah.
Is that
Tony Soprano's my father.
Oh, really?
Yeah, except my dad's a little bit not so mobster.
I wish I would have known that 2 months ago when I first hit on you.
he's less ill-tempered, but...
He's less ill-tempered.
The mannerisms and everything. I know tons of Jersey families like The Sopranos.
Yeah? Are you going to look like Carmelo when you grow up?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Are you going to look like April? Or are you going to look like the gals?
I'm going to keep the Meadow.
You going to follow out like Meadow?
I'm going to follow out like Meadow. I hope.
Because last I saw Meadow, she was in her underwear doing a lap dance.
Hey.
A fella could
I'm on the David Lee Roth show. I'm on the right path.
You got one foot in the door, yeah. That's right. Okay, we all know how mob dolls are depicted. The women in Goodfellas, the women in any mob movie, okay? Especially the Jersey, Married to the Mob. You know the Jersey style.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered cool again? Because it's always gone through a series of phases. And to my eye, it's something that started probably in the 50s, okay? And, you know, when the hair is as tall as the heels down below or whatever, that all kicked in. That, to me, is country clubs. That's classic Jersey. That's classic Shore. That's classic Long Island and whatever. Okay. And then there's a period of time. For example, in the 60s when the hippie thing kicks in, and I was a little kid or whatever, and that became uncool. You had to get moccasins, you had to get blue jeans, you had to wear something made out of macrame, you needed a shag haircut, right? And people shifted over. If you've ever seen Uma Thurman in Hysterical Blindness, where she plays the part of a Jersey girl in the, looks like to me, the late 80s or whatever, she's not Carmella at all, okay? She is rock and roll. We'll just call it that for the sake of identification. You kind of know what I'm saying. She's got the jeans, she's got a belt on, you know, the torn t-shirt, a lot like how I made my living in 1988. And... No, it's a very different kind of a vibe. Now, I'm going to ask, is there starting to become a switch over? Because it's action reaction, okay? There's a point where you try and get your pants tighter and tighter and tighter. Now, people barely wear their pants. No, really. You know the old thing of you got caught with your pants down? This is now a permanent state of being. pull your pants up and let's go. You don't have to anymore. No, I just saw a kid on Soul Train. They defied gravity, a lot like Janis Jackson's breast, but headed the other way. No, really. He was like at his knees, okay? My point being that if you go back and you look at something like... think of any of these dance movies or whatever. Everybody's wearing skin-tight pants. Then it's going to expand. Is the Carmella Jersey Girl up real kind of a look? Is that coming in? Look at the look of derision.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Starts with the look, doesn't it?
Definitely. The roles have reversed. Like the Bon Jovi, big hair, bleached, ripped jeans is out, and Carmella's back in.
Well, even Bon Jovi now has cut his hair, and he's trying to do country on... He's got the number 7 video on the Country Music Channel. Is there a lot of country western going on in Jersey, sweetheart?
Not so much, no.
I can't imagine Tony Soprano with a cowboy hat. I can't even...
I'm wearing cowboy boots today.
You slut. Turn up the music. I'm going to look. Well, see, the cowboy issue fits right in with the Carmella Jersey Sopranos kind of look, right? Look at, what was the girl who just got shot? Come on, there's so many different names. I know her, Drea.
Oh,
but
Adriana.
What's her name?
Adriana.
I know her as her real name, Drea. And she would easily be wearing cowboy boots, right? Does she qualify as Jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Explain to us, starting with the top and working our way to the bottom, what's required to actually get a Jersey kind of look? Because I could tell you, you know, like I've explained before on the air, what it takes to get the rock and roll dude kind of look, especially time specific. So what would you do to your hair to make that right?
I would tease it.
And tease it into what? Straight up or straight out?
I would tease it straight out. And I would dye it blonde.
Yeah, but that looks like Gary Spivey.
That's Jersey. Tease it, make it frizzy.
And what would you put in it? What are you spraying it? What do you put? What kind of stuff?
You take a comb and you just like you kind of move it back and forth on the strands, and then you spray it with Aquanet.
Okay.
A lot of Aquanet.
And do you sleep with it like that?
No, you wake up. Well, I guess you could wake up with it like that.
Does it leave a spot on the pillow?
It does. Yes.
Okay. Because what? Talk to me about Jerry Curl.
Oh,
what's
man.
The difference between this? Would you use Jerry Curl?
Jerry Curl is a little bit more greasy than Aquanet.
Would you use Aquanet, Sash?
I would use Aquanet.
You would not use Jerry Curl?
I would not, no.
Animal, she would never use Jerry Curl?
No, it's real greasy and messy, man. Like, if you come up with somebody's house and they lean their head back, they would definitely leave a greasy spot on your couch, man.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
And Aquanet won't do that?
Aquanet, it's a little bit more sticky. If you can't run your hands
so
through
the pillow,
hair.
If you lift your head up, the pillow comes with you.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and is it so strong? Because I've seen stuff so strong that, like, if you lay your head down, your head is actually 4 inches off the pillow because of the hair that cushions it. I've slept with girls like that, allegedly.
That's a
Jersey allegedly. Girl. Nothing was ever proven in court. Come on, man. What kind of tattoos would a Jersey girl get these days? Oh, she's showing me. I love this. Turn up the music. I want to look. Describe it, sweetheart. What is that?
Mine is a cross, and it's on my hip, and it has the letters S-A-R-J, which is my name, my mom's, my dad's, and my sister's. And I'm getting another one next weekend with my mom.
Just to remind you that if we marry the girl, you also marry the family.
David Lee Roth, mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
David Lee Roth. え、ようこそ。勝利の笑いの禅と芸術。Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
And now a message from Johnny Rotten to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think I'll just let him sing it here. Go ahead, turn it up, man.
You got this. I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Hey, that's not Johnny Rotten.
For my shirt, so sexy. sexy, it hurts.
No, here's the news. Former Sex Pistols lead singer Johnny Rotten has nothing but disdain for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which rhymes, which is why he won't be attending tonight's induction ceremony. I told you guys earlier there, coincidence of all coinky dinks, guess who's the first name on the list? Leonard Skinner. So for all of you 35-year-old white males that our program director insisted that this is what you wanted, boom, you got it, and you heard about it here first on Roth Radio. We love classic rock. Come on, man. In the last 2 days, we had Ted Nugent, Brian from Queen, the guitar player from Queen. Get out of here. We get every full-service menu. Also, they're going to induct Sex Pistols, Miles Davis, Black Sabbath, Blondie, and Herb Albert, Tijuana Brass. Do you even know what the Tijuana Brass are? I'm going to play Tijuana Brass for you a little bit later, Sash, because it'll go with your new hairdo.
Yeah.
Oh, it will. It'll go with the pedal pushers. It'll go with the capris, the uplifting bra. The bra. It's, oh, I know how you're going to do this. Okay. And I can't do it, but I can provide you with the soundtrack for you to get dressed. Would you do Jersey Girl for us at some point, like really dress like that and come here?
Are you kidding me? I'd love to do that.
Yeah, because usually we're not so privileged. I've just went without words. I just went blank. Here we go. Looks like the singer who now goes by the name John Lydon appeared as a guest on ABC's late night talk show Jimmy Kimmel and was asked why he and his two surviving partners from the groundbreaking punk band were snubbing the hall. And here's what he said. They never cared who we were. They never bothered to correct the incredible, fatal, bad mistakes about our legend and legacy and their musician. And up until now, they've rejected our nomination for 3 years running. And now they want a piece of it. Well, guess what? Kiss this. And he made a gesture.
You know what I mean? And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. Yeah,
what? My headphones are blowing up here. Hey, Timmy, can you come replace the battery in this? And for the headphones. Bad jokes. They can't all be gems this early. What do you think? Should he snub the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? This is a question I'm going to have to answer at some point.
Johnny
in time.
Johnny Rotten would be going with the establishment if he accepted an award. It's everything he's against.
You're right. It's absolutely within character for him to do this.
When they got the award for the best-selling record and debut of English history, they said, how did you feel when you found out your album debuted at number one, first time since the Beatles? And he goes, I felt absolutely nothing.
Well, that's perfectly in character. He's doing the right script for this, then. I'm impressed. At first, I was going to be a little bit dismissive and go, come on, get it behind you. At this point in time, all must be forgiven. After a certain amount of years, you can admit anything. After a certain amount of years, whatever you did outside of date rape or anything involving a sidearm, it's pretty much forgivable, right? Especially in a rock band, a catastrophe of cards that fell in on itself virtually on cue beautifully for how many seasons in a row? How long did that band actually last?
Once they came to America, they played 12, had a 12-day tour, and that was the end of the band.
Oh, yeah. Now, and my manager, Noel Monk, was their road manager.
I read his book.
Oh, during that tour, and we had all of the stuff. I remember meeting my road manager for the first time in Van Halen when we went to a little restaurant up in Burbank in North Hollywood, and we met the Warner Brothers faces. We were going to make our first record, and we were going to go on the road for the first time. In fact, we were going to open up for Black Sabbath, who got nominated here. And I'm looking at the chronology of this. Okay, I see the bands that I went and saw at the Whiskey or that I opened up for. I saw Blondie at the Whiskey a Go-Go when they were just starting to make it happen, all right? The Sex Pistols were touring, and I went and saw them, okay, when they were having up in San Francisco, all right? Oh, yeah. And, you know, Leonard Skinner, everybody was still alive and so forth. So I'm very curious as to the answer of what we're going to come up with for these guys, because ultimately the Van Halen name is going to come up at least for nomination. I don't know if it's, you know, will actually be enshrined right up there with the greats, but as usual, there will be an argument. there will be conflagration. But the Sex Pistols, you're right. Was it more theater than actual music, you think? That's a hard tipping point to define, because was Sid Vicious even a musician? Okay, you can point. Well, no, he wasn't really.
He was doing the pogo in the audience, and they hired him.
Yeah, now a lot of people are going to call up, or somebody's going to volunteer that, that is rock and roll. All right, there's a way to sing, and then there's a way to sing when you have no voice. I'll give you an example. The fella in Queen, Freddie Mercury. That's a guy who could really sing. He has a singer's voice. He worked on it, continued to refine it routinely, and he sharpened it like a sword. Okay? Think of the way that the girl from Ipanema was sung by Astrid Gilberto. Okay? She does not have a singing voice. She was one of the very first to give a voice to those who cannot sing. The working man, the working girl, and, you know, the working kid, whatever. And if you think of how she sang that, turn the music down. Hey, you laugh at it now. 700 million record sales later, everybody goes, she sings for me, okay? So there's different ways to approach your instrument, okay? You got Stanley Clark, for example, who's a superb bass player, played with all of the greats, all the jazz supers, you know, all the geniuses, etc. And then you got Sid Vicious, all right? I'm wondering if Sid even applied for that kind of thing where, okay, like Bob Dylan is not a singer's voice, yet he sings wonderfully with it. You follow the reasoning? Did Sid actually even play that instrument, or was it all theater? Was it all showbiz? Was it all character acting? Was he an action figure?
He did a couple notes in between jumping around and stuff. I mean, I like the Sex Pistols, so I'm not saying it from a negative point of view. I'm saying it from what he really was.
Yeah, well, it was exciting stuff, you know. Or we still wouldn't be talking about it how many thousands of miles and 100 hours later, so to speak, right? Part of what makes this all work is endurance. Part of what makes this all work is longevity. Big Bang Theory, do you love it right away? Boom, yeah. Loved the Monkees right away, boom, but got a little tired of them compared to the Beatles. You follow what I'm saying?
As far as what those guys stood for, I'd say Sid Vicious was the only true guy, because I saw a poster that said, Sid Vicious, rock star at 20, dead at 21.
He's young, he's hot, and he's dead. Well, that's part of it, right? Plus, that band was interrupted before it got to grow up, before any kind of mortal sense was established. Being in a rock band is being like an action figure. That's what happened to Van Halen. Think about it. It's what happened to Hendrix. We never got old. You never saw the band together aging, like a picture of Dorian Gray or something. The band stayed forever. The picture's in a closet somewhere getting older and older and older. But as far as Van Halen, the last memory that you have of us is how many years ago? We were that much younger. Same thing for the Sex Pistols. They literally killed themselves, or part of themselves, or at least part of the drivetrain, came to a complete stop, and the band never got older. There's a lot of acts that we watch. You watch the Grateful Dead getting older, older. You see people, my favorites, Jimmy Buffett, Bob Dylan. We get to see them like ourselves, Willie Nelson, individuals, you know, who, hey, you change. You grow up a little bit, or you grow sideways. Seriously. Yeah. And when you interrupt an act like that, it's forever. And I'm wondering if we still see it as music, because it was a statement. It was I don't know what you call it, rage, one of my favorite words. It was mid-level fury, which I'm still convinced should have been the title of their fourth album, the one that never got made.
Second album.
Hey, but the biggest explosions happen quick, right? How many nuclear bombs do you really need? Come on, think about Jimi Hendrix. 3 albums, really? That made any sense? How many records did the Beatles even make? 6? That's it. Think about it. Count them up. Led Zeppelin. What, it makes 6 records? Really? It's a short burst is what happens. And then you may have a comeback of some sorts, but usually not. I'm wondering if these guys are ever going to be able to get back to where they can go and step up to this. Or is it better theater that they don't? Maybe it's just better theater. This is how I would like to remember the Sex Pistols. They fought. The dressing room was trashed. He came out, flipped us all off, right? Cursed out the media. Punched a photographer. Go ahead. You're from the UK. You were around that, Hutch.
You know, going, the experience of going to see the Sex Pistols on stage in a club, like, you know, the Lyceum or whatever it was actually going to see the burnout. It was going to see them burn out. And that's what you did, you know. You didn't know whether they were going to play for 10 minutes or an hour and a half.
Is Axl Rose doing the same kind of thing? Is he prospering along the same lines now? I'm serious, Animal. Why are you laughing so loud? You know these guys.
That's what you just hit the nail right on the head, man. I think that's what's going on. But I don't know if he's fat or nothing, like the papers say, though, man. Because he used, you know, like a health nut. Always tried to stay in shape, you know.
Axl Rose is a health nut?
Well, when I knew him, he was. You know, he's, you know, work out a lot, you know. But, you know, he did a lot of heavy drinking and stuff. But, you know, he said he worked out, but I have no proof of it.
Yeah, but the eye will not deceive you. What did you see? Yeah. Did he look like he worked out, or did he just look like he was young and skinny?
Well, he looked pretty fit.
Okay, because he's in the press here, and he's fighting with Scott Weiland. Okay, that's Velvet Revolver Bunch, right? And, you know, evidently Scott and Axel got into the usual backstage fight, or there's something across from the press releases. And here's the message responding to Axel's comments. Weiland wrote in an open letter. Ooh, open letters, very high impact. Get in the ring. Go to the gym, mofo. I'm going to change some of the words. It's all swearing, though. This is beautiful. Anytime I simply say a word that's totally out of character, like mofo or stuff or freak this, you know what the actual libretto was here. Okay. However, let me see. Let me find it again. Responding to Axel's comments, get in the ring. Go to the gym, mofo. Or if you prefer, get a new wig, mofo. I think I'll resist the urge to stoop to your level. Ah, stuff. Here it comes. You fat, Botox-faced, wig-wearing freak. This sounds like last me on Wednesday, doesn't it? Look at this. Don't think for a second we don't know where those words came from. Your unoriginal, uncreative little mind, the same mind that had to rely on its bandmates to write melodies and lyric. Who's the fraud now, bitch? Damn. I couldn't imagine people writing for me. How many albums have you put out? And how long did it take the current configuration of this so-called band to make this album? How long? And without the only guys that validated the name? How dare you? Shame on you. How dare you call our bass player spineless? And it goes on and on and on. Somebody very, very, very angry.
David Lee Roth in the mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
デイビッド・リー・ロスとつながっています。小さな火のかかしはいかが。 You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow?
One world, one love. D-Row, David Lee Roth, Roth Radio. 866-313-3733. One big family in love, like The Sopranos. That's what I'm thinking. When I read this about Axel and Weiland, and I read this about Johnny Rotten, now, of course, John Lydon. I liked it better when it was Johnny Rotten. Can you ever get past a moniker like that? Because, you know, you would never call yourself Rotten. He's Johnny Rotten. I'm ascending to where I can get to be one name, like Cher or Sting. Although, if you just call me Dave... Maybe if I had an exclamation point, what do you think? Because you don't get the same respect, you know. I've walked on the streets with other rock stars, you know, and they'll come up and they'll say, you know, to somebody like a Sting or whatever, they'll go, sir, thanks so much for your hard work, your great effort, and your contribution to music. And then they'll turn to me and go, Diamond Dad! And act like they're doing the air guitar, right? When is the Hall of Fame? That's like tonight, right?
It's the induction dinner tonight.
Okay, so it's the same thing. This is when you finally realize that you're there, because they maintain that this is, you know, a secret thing all the way up, basically. And now they have to get ahead of it because they got to arrange for the people to play together. That's the issue, all right? Because remember when the guy from Creedence Clearwater, John Fogerty, he wouldn't play with the other quote-unquote bandmates because evidently or allegedly they had ripped off his publishing in a court of law, it was legal for them to take the publishing, but in a court of ethics and morals, they're going straight to hell. That was always the story. So he refuses to play with those guys. He ultimately had to come out and do some of his songs, you know, Proud Mary or whatever, with Bruce Springsteen. What happens with the Sex Pistols? Do they not go? Do they just not go? Or do they not stand up? Or do they stand up and flip everybody off? That'd be a cool move. Or do they go and then get caught doing drugs in the bathroom? Nah, that would have been back in 78. Do they just get into a fight with the paparazzi? Never actually enter the building? Is there a hotel destruction sequence? You can't do that much anymore. Not with the internet. Used to get away with that routinely because nobody ever called the next city. Now that's a given, truthfully. Do you watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Sash? Is that appeal to
sometimes
a 21-year-old Jersey mamacita?
Not so much, no. I just read about it later.
You just read about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I never watch it.
Why is that? Why the face?
I don't know. I just never really have. I mean, I know all about it. And I just never really watch it.
And it's because the music doesn't appeal to you,
no.
Or just the program itself? What's
program
it seem like?
The program itself really doesn't appeal to me. I love the music. I love all the stuff, you know, all that other stuff. And I read about it, but
it's just not your time. Just not your music, right? It doesn't speak to you.
The music does, but the program doesn't.
So what, are you going to wait until Justin Timberlake?
No.
Geez, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow.
I'm sorry.
You do derision so well. You're going to make some young man very unhappy. more about that later. Who would be the first act from your generation that you think is going to go, or should be, actually, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
And Nirvana?
Nirvana?
I guess.
Do you
I
think?
Don't know.
You think? Now wait. See, you're questioning. I asked you for a specific. You're wondering out loud. Should Nirvana actually be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Is that your question?
I believe they should. I don't know if they will be. I don't know if it'll.
Okay, talk to me. Why they should? Why do you think they should?
I think that they broke out with some real original stuff before. You know, they broke out with the whole grunge thing before anybody really did, and it was good music too.
Okay, where would you hear that music now in New York? On what radio station?
It used to be here at K-Rock before it was Free FM. Now 104.3, Q104.3.
Yeah, but then now that's classic rock, basically.
They play Nirvana.
Is Nirvana actually classic at this point?
Now it's considered classic, yeah.
How many years before something's classic?
I know, I felt weird when I heard it.
And today's time frames, what is it, 3 years? About the regular career today. If you see the, you know, like the little Jamaican girl who's going Mr. Up on the Beat or Mr. DJ Up on the Beat or whatever, her career is going to be about 3.5 summers long, routinely. That's whether it's hip-hop, country, rock and roll, super short. Think of all the acts who've, you know, come and gone. Like in What Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy. Everybody knows the tune. What are they doing? They're putting cellophane on porno videos up in the valley right now as we speak. In fact, they're going to be on Blair a little bit later.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers would be a good inductee.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
They're good.
I think the Chili Peps would qualify. Good call there. 866-313-3733. Tell me what you think about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and why you're busy dialing. Don't forget, coming up in about an hour here is Stephen Woolley, director and producer of Stoned. Speaking of dysfunctional, well, he wasn't the rhythm section. Dysfunctional guitar players. No, Brian, I'm not looking there. It's about Brian from the Beatles. Oh, excuse me, the Stones. Brian Wilson from the Beatles. No, I'm going to let him describe the actual picture because it's not exactly what I expected. I thought that Brian Jones was going to be a documentary, and it's really not. He created a whole movie about a character and a whole supposed behind the scenes that took place here. And if you ever had any contact with the 60s, you ever wondered what it looked like there as far as what everybody was wearing and the kind of the way the telephones looked and the way, you know, all those cool shoes and haircuts and stuff, then this is a great thing. I'm wondering if it's a biopic or if it's actually, if this is considered like a novel. Is this completely fictional? So he's going to be calling up in a little bit, Stephen Woolley. And then also right on the heels of that, Jeffrey Slonim, writer for Gotham Magazine. You're wondering what's up with Nick? You're wondering up with what's up with Jessica? I don't know, maybe he has a reflection on what's up with Axel. Do you think? Calling in from Gotham Magazine as well. And our post-relationship columnist, Elizabeth Hayes, in today, and she's wondering why Generation X's is not getting married, 25 to 39-year-olds, because they're all up getting lap dances at the VIP lounge like Animal. Oh, jeez. Well, as you can hear in the background, it's One World, One Love. Prepare to drop mortgage. We got a phone call here. Somebody wants to talk about the Hall of Fame. 866-313-3733. David Lee's on. Who are you?
Dave Scott. How you doing, buddy?
Is this Scott Wayland?
Yeah. I wish.
You're going to continue the open letter? Go ahead, friend. What do you think of the Hall of Fame, or what do you think of Axel? What do you think?
I live in Cleveland, and I'll tell you, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, they hype it up, and we went up to see it. It sucks.
Oh, wow. Why does it suck?
You go inside, they don't have hardly any rock and roll stuff. They got TLC, Britney Spears, David Cassidy. He's just like a human butt plug. He ain't rock and roll. You know, you got all these groups, but none of them are rock and roll. You don't have no Ozzy, you don't have no AC/DC, no David Lee, no nothing. You know what I mean?
There's no special section reserved that's done up like a trashed hotel room, an entire wing that looks like a destroyed backstage with an upset buffet of Chinese food made out of plaster of Paris that's constantly full of smoke and groupies giving answers to policemen?
They don't have none of that. They got one room, it's got a brick wall, and then it's got a chair for Pink Floyd. Other than that, that's it. They don't have, I mean, there's nothing rock and roll about it. It's all pop stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's a seasonal issue. I don't know. You know, I wonder if they change the, what do they call it, like at the National History Museum, a diorama? I was always a little suspicious of that word.
Well, I know they had a big thing. Ozzy turned them down because he said it's not rock and roll stuff that's in there, so he won't do it.
And say that again. I'm sorry, I was looking at Sasha's T-shirt. Go ahead, friend. One more time.
I would like to see that too. And Ozzy refuses to do it because it's not rock and roll. You know, like he said, TLC, Britney Spears is not what rock and roll is.
You know what? I'm a fan of contrast. I think that what we grew up learning that rock and roll is probably guitar-oriented with a killer rhythm section. I see real drums. I see a real guitar player. I see a singer who ordinarily is going to sing on a blues-based, either a soul shouter, a growler in a baritone, or one of those high shrieking Zeppelin type voices. That's how I grew up learning what rock and roll kind of was. But I'm also aware that it wasn't always that. It used to be Little Richard and Chuck Berry and Bill Haley in the Comets, and I never had any taste for that as a kid growing up in the 60s. So I just assumed that, hey, now we've changed it, and this is rock and roll forever. Do you think the Monkees are as rock and roll as the Beatles?
No.
They're
more like...
You wouldn't qualify the Monkees as rock and roll?
No, they're more like a Justin Timberlake band.
Okay, let's keep going here. Would you consider the Beach Boys to be rock and roll?
No, it's more surf.
Okay.
I'm 35, so rock and roll to me is like
Lennon Skinner.
Van Halen was, you know, where you got the heavier...
Me too. I'm right with you, my friend. I'm right with you. I never quite made it past that age that age musically, okay? But I want to volunteer. Would you consider Fleetwood Mac to be rock and roll?
Yeah.
See, the difficulty, you hear the tone of voice that you resort to, though, is because there's a question there.
Because you got to think about it. I mean, like you said, though, you got your rhythms, your guitars, your lead singers.
And that's one kind of rock and roll, though, is what I'm volunteering, is that every time we reach for a little bit more mainstream of an act, because all those acts I just named are guitar-based. If you think about it, all the Beach Boys songs have a guitar that's ranging through every bit of it. It was a live band. Same thing for Fleetwood Mac. A live band that was bass, guitar, and drums. There are several guitars in there. The difficulty is when you reach that point, you go, I'm not sure. If you're not sure and you start disincluding people, how about Creedence Clearwater, for example? Is that rock and roll?
Yes.
Wow, that was quick. See, I would have argued that that's some kind of rhythm and blues meets Cajun, you know, something closer to where Animal comes from down in Covington County, okay?
That would be Southern rock, right? Like Skinner.
Okay,
Southern
well, the rock. Point I think I'm making, I think I'm stumbling into the truth here, like Stevie Wonder and Heavy Turbulence, but I'm going to find this, is that I think that it has expanded. The way I learned it as rock and roll has expanded radically beyond what it was, because you have everything from David Bowie to Ziggy Stardust to Pink Floyd and The Wall, everything from Bruce Springsteen to Metallica. That's a lot of t-shirts, and I consider it all rock and roll. My disappointment probably arises from the lack of contrast. The black, no good without a little white, and the rice is no good without a little salt in it. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you.
Besides, if you get the contrast, then just like going to any good sporting event, half the fun of going is going, boo, this part sucks, and that part over there is great.
Kind of like going to a car race. You go to see the crashes, like you said, not to see the race.
No, you go for both. You go mostly to see the crashes.
Right.
And then there's that one thing you go, honey, what size t-shirt do you wear? I'm buying several.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.